As we start calculating the cost of the recent riots and the destruction, organized business warns that the economic recovery has been set back probably by 1 to 2 years, and it raises several questions, but undoubtedly one of the most fundamental is the role of small business and entrepreneurship in the recovery. And while the events of the week of 12th of July have been a dark chapter in the country's history as homes and businesses were destroyed, in typical South African fashion, many have pulled together to help affected communities rebuild. Johannesburg-based online marketplace for home services Candua has rolled up its sleeves and is helping small businesses that were gutted. And it's a great pleasure to be joined now by Arjun Kusal, who is the co-founder of this online business marketplace. Arjun, welcome. We listened to the president last night stand up and say that he's going to be supporting SMEs. He's rolling out the social relief of distress grant again. He's making TERS available. Before we talk about what you're doing at Candua, what did you make of the president's speech last night?
Yeah, I thought it was a very welcome direction that the president embarked on in foregrounding the importance of providing support and stepping in to somehow accelerate the recovery of everything. I found that great. It would have been also welcome to have a clearer sense of maybe exactly how that support would be provided and how much of it would be provided, especially, for example, to businesses who didn't have insurance, which is one of the things he pledged to do, which I guess many people didn't expect. But I think welcome news overall.
Yeah, welcome that. Obviously, the devil is in the detail with so many of these things, and there wasn't much in the way of detail in the speech. And I'm sure we're going to be hearing more from the various line ministries this week as they get rolled out. And there was also talk of establishing a fund to help small businesses as well. Again, we'll have to see when rubber hits road on that one. Now, take me back to your Candua.com campaign. You've launched this campaign, hashtag RebuildSA. What does it entail?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the things that obviously were destroyed in the wake of the unrest, of late, is the businesses and the properties of the actual businesses. That's the first line of defense and the first thing to fall is, you know, the broken glass, burnt timbers, and all these types of things. And obviously, you cannot run or secure a business that has been affected in that way. So given that, and given the extent of, dismay and, sadness that a whole lot of people had, and almost like a lack of agency and helplessness and hopelessness, it felt like a really needed thing, both from a symbolic point of view and from a material point of view. For us South Africans to step together and, as you said, in true South African fashion, make a plan and work towards rebuilding things. And we were really inspired by so many people who banded together with all kinds of skill sets and all kinds of resources, putting it together and finding ways of, stemming the bleeding in some way. And what we, as Candua.com, realized we could do, and Candua.com is South Africa's biggest marketplace for maintenance, renovation, with over 20,000 plumbers, builders, painters, electricians, those types of people on there. So what we realized we could do is we could avail the services of these people and connect them to, fixing all this damage that's been caused to the structures through the unrest, and that we could use our platform to do that because our platform facilitates these jobs all the time. And so that's where we had the idea. We said the only thing we're lacking is we're lacking the finance to actually pay these plumbers, carpenters, and builders, because these are actually small businesses who are independent of Candua. We don't employ them. We just provide them with access to markets. So yeah, someone needs to pay the invoices. And we can contribute in a small way, but we can't obviously make much of a dent in the scale of everything that's happened. So we ran a call to get donations and get a bit of a snowball going so that we can repay as many small businesses who have a tough time repairing themselves without insurance typically. And we will do as many as we can and as many as is afforded by all the generous donors who have already contributed and who will still contribute to the campaign.
So effectively using the power of the platform that you've built up in Kandua to connect these plumbers and builders with the small businesses who are so desperate to rebuild their physical infrastructure so that they can start trading again. And if you're a corporate or if you're an angel investor or if you're just a concerned South African citizen, you can go and be a sponsor and help to pay for the repairs. How does that work? How does that sponsorship matching, selecting which SME is going to be a beneficiary, how does that whole process come together?
Okay, so first of all, let's start with this, with sponsoring. So yeah, there's a classic kind of crowdfunding function that we set up as a part of our platform on rebuild.kandua.com. So people can go there and pledge however much they are able to pledge, and also write an encouraging bright message for other people to read and be inspired by. And so that's the first, obviously, cog in the process. And then, once we have these donations, and in parallel, while collecting these donations, we've been soliciting via referrals and running a separate campaign to get businesses that have been affected adversely to apply. Those have been coming in thick and fast, and we started reviewing the applications. There's quite a lot of them, of course. And the way we're going to choose the businesses to rebuild is based on two overarching criteria. Now, we'll repair obviously as many as we can get, as we're able to, as many as afforded. But these are the two criteria by which we'll prioritize the businesses that are applying. So the first criteria is how critical of a service is the business to the local community that it finds itself in. An example of really critical service might be the LXFM radio station, for example, that right. was damaged, or a small pharmacy that was destroyed. So that's the first criteria. The second criterion is how easily will the business be able to recover without any external support? And obviously, the more dire a situation the business is in, the higher it should be prioritized when it comes to receiving support. So those are the two things. And then the third thing, tacitly, of course, is that the structural damage and how much structural damage is there. I mean, if it's a loss of inventory, that's also really terrible. But that's not something that we are going to be helping with. We are going to be helping with fixing structural damage, and that would allow us to touch many more businesses and also use our platform in the most efficient way. So,
Arjun, we're joined now by Vusi Temakwayo, who has been listening to your story. And I think, Vusi, when I invited you to this panel, it was in the context of you taking to social media in the wake of the riots that we saw. And you said everything has a cost in this country, and it's received, I think, over 3,000 views and heated commentary around that post. Now that the dust has settled and you look at that cost, and if everyone wants to be part of the solution, what cost in particular has the last couple of weeks had for small business in the country from where you're sitting?
I mean, I think for small, in particular, those micro survivalist businesses, it's an immediate halting of their revenues, which for micro businesses, most people need to be aware. The minute your revenues stop, it basically means your income stops. So the business owner is now without an income, which means their employees are without an income, which means those families are affected. They eat literally overnight. It's the inability to buy food and to buy the basic stuffs that you need to live and survive as a family. So that's the most immediate impact. The second most immediate impact, it goes without saying, is the cost to society. Because overnight, all of those people who were in some or other measure providing for themselves are having to rely on family, friends, and the extended community for support to see through this very difficult time. I think the immediate impact we're going to see just a bit beyond that is the impact to our social stability, to our psychological stability. It's moms and dads who are not able to provide for their children, who this week are going back to school. It's societies and communities in particular who've had those, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, those kind of businesses ripped out of their community, and basically meaning they can't access those products, but also those business owners can't sell those wares as well. So I think there's a psychological impact that is still about to hit in most of the affected communities.
And that's why Arjun's projects, and there are many similar projects, small businesses in their own right, entrepreneurs in their own right, sitting on the sidelines, obviously quite angry watching what's going on, but saying, what can we do to be a solution rather than just shrug our shoulders, is so heartening to see. And, you know, Arjun, with you connecting artisanal plumbers and builders to these very small businesses who need to be rebuilt in their communities, fulfilling an absolutely vital role. The Can-Doer story, though, and it's a great name, it's Can-Doer with a K, though, but it certainly sounds like that Can-Doer kind of entrepreneurial attitude that you're displaying with this campaign. How did Can-Doer.com come into being?
Yeah, so I mean, it started around 6 years ago, and I was visiting my parents on holiday from my master's degree, and they were renovating their home. And the first set of builders who were working on the renovation, it was quite a big renovation. As we all know, some have happened sometimes, they botched the job pretty badly. And yeah, that was obviously a very distressing thing for everyone. But thankfully, the second builder that came in was did an absolutely astonishing job. Super affordable, and really just a nice guy. And I got to chatting with him and realized that, you know, this guy is struggling to find work. He's really complaining, struggling to find work. Another thing I realized is, even though it's a big job, he's writing quotes and invoices on a piece of paper, adding them up by hand, getting the amounts wrong, doesn't have an email address, right? Doesn't have no email address. Despite all of that, does such amazing work. His, you know, his great grandfather was a builder. This is a trade that and a craft that's been passed on from generation to generation. And it was just you know, so striking and so frustrating as well, that everyone's being so shortchanged here. This guy has such skill. You know, he's not able to use this skill. My parents are fumbling around lost trying to find a, you know, someone to help with their home. There's just no reason for that to be so inefficient. Like, it really is a frustratingly pain-stricken industry, I think. And so, yeah, that was we were looking for some way to use technology to empower people and to, you know, give people professional dignity, just resonated as this is where we need to apply our technology to make the biggest impact. And so now today we exist to shorten the distance between guys like that having a skill and making a living from it. And the main way we do that is by connecting them to people who want work done in like an Uber-like easy kind of way. So yeah, that's our story.
And over 20,000 such individuals now on your platform. Vusi, it shows the power of the platform economy, one, but also of the opportunity present in South Africa. There's so much opportunity to help solve challenges, social challenges here, by applying an entrepreneurial lens. So what do you make of Arjun's business?
Well, I mean, you know, the great thing about what Arjun is sharing and these kinds of businesses is that they're solving real problems, the real economy faced by real people, right? And you and I, Michael, both know that there's, you know, you don't have to go very far to find a technology business that solves a vanity problem that just doesn't exist. I've often said, particularly in where we find ourselves, on the southern tip of the darkest, most underdeveloped continent in the world, we all have a responsibility to build businesses that become part of how we rebuild our social fabric. So that's important. This, you know, that's the first element. The second is the timing in particular for Arjun and his business just coincides so perfectly with where South Africa finds itself. And I think all the more to it why we need more capital to be plowed into businesses like Arjun's, right? As you know, that's the space I work in. And that's probably the space where, in my mind, South Africa lags the most. We need to be a lot more deliberate in applying a lot more early stage, high risk, low return capital into a lot of these kinds of projects and a lot of these kinds of businesses. And those of us who are, like myself, investment professionals, need to think outside of the narrow dogmatic, how do you measure a return, but also include the more social measures. So job creation, you know, social cohesion, and a whole host of these other factors that are fundamental in how we're going to rebuild South Africa.
And Vusi, to stay on that point for a second longer, as the founder of My Growth Fund, do you think it's taken a knock, South Africa as an investment destination and our reputation? Is it going to be difficult to go out and raise funds at a time when we probably need them more than ever. To your earlier point, we need these entrepreneurial businesses and minds with the capital to go out and deploy and solve some of these issues that will help build social cohesion. On the other hand, you're hearing from investors that, well, there's no confidence, not if we can't protect our assets on the ground. I mean, it's a difficult environment.
I can speak on this with some authority, Michael, as it turns out, because we're right in the middle of a capital raise, which anybody in this industry will tell you takes as long as it takes. You just have to go through it. So we're engaging with a lot of the high net worth individuals, ultra high net worth individuals, family offices, as well as DFIs around the world. And on the week that these events happened, I had three calls with investors around the world scheduled that were canceled. Those calls have since been rescheduled. But what in effect has happened is there's been a stalling. The process hasn't stopped. Investors are still looking at South Africa. They understand the macro picture, the macroeconomics, and they understand that, frankly, these things happen. You know, looting and riots happen. They happen in Europe. They've happened in the US. They happen all over the world. But what it has done is it introduced a new barrier for those of us who are raising capital to answer the question around, well, tell me what is your risk management protocol when it comes to investing in this real economy you're talking about where these things are happening. That's the one end. The other end, by the way, is it's also made a greater investment case and higher impetus for those of us who have been going out there going, we are one of the most unequal societies in the world. It's not natural. This is a function of how our economy is designed. And we believe we can play a fundamental role in how we redesign that economy, small, albeit. And so it's playing on both of those ends. Mm. But from a capital raising perspective, investors will always ask the questions they need to ask. This definitely is now a question we're all needing to answer in terms of those DDQs that we're getting from limited partners. And we will continue to answer those questions and go through the process of raising capital, sure.
And to come to you, Arjun, as a social entrepreneur, in effect, how have you found raising capital prior to the riots? We won't really talk about what's happening now because you've been so busy with this Rebuild SA campaign. But has it been a selling point for you, being more of a social entrepreneur in a country such as South Africa's with our record levels of inequality?
Yeah, I think for sure. When you look at generally the point of entrepreneurship, it is to solve problems. And in a country like ours, we are stricken with huge problems. You know, we don't need to invent these vanity problems if we just open our eyes. And the opportunities are massive because big problems are big opportunities. And so, yeah, by pointing ourselves at one of the biggest problems that we face, which is a crazy unemployment level, it's quite a compelling problem to tackle. And that definitely helps us. And it also feels great. And I think it's the intersection of all of that is something that I really am fulfilled by, and also is quite enabling. In the wake of the unrest and all these types of things, luckily we managed to close a funding round just before all the unrest, so we were not affected by that. But for sure, as Fuzi said, I'm sure that it's stalling things, and I have peers who are raising funds at this time, and they are worried about the effect that this is going to have on their ability to raise.
Yeah. But the one thing I do know about entrepreneurs, and every entrepreneur I've ever spoken to, is an ability and an attitude, and to come back to your name, this can-do attitude, to often cut through the political noise and the kind of emerging market risk factor that you spoke to, Vusi, and just kind of get on with doing it, and not really waiting for government to come and make the environment a little bit easier. That said, though, it could greatly help if we had a government that created a much more enabling environment for entrepreneurs. Obviously, we had the president last night address the country saying they're going to be providing a certain insurance cover for those who don't have insurance. They're going to open up the TERS and UIF again for small businesses. And there was mention without any detail of a fund to help SMMEs. What would you like government to do? Because I recall last year you getting onto social media and really being quite critical over government's role in the malaise, economic malaise that we find ourselves in presently.
And you know, first let me just say that I reward the president's efforts to do as much as he can at a time like this. I think anybody who watched that speech yesterday clearly saw a man who's tired. I think the president is exhausted. And he's a human being at the end of the day. And we all have to remember that. But he leads a very complex lethargic instrument called government, which
Mm.
takes forever to understand what problems are and even longer to respond to those problems. And this is a perfect case in point. They've spent 2 weeks quantifying the loss. The loss is not yet fully quantified. And now we have a mention of a fund without any details. So the questions beckon. Will it be a grant fund? Will it be an equity fund? Will it be a debt fund? Will the businesses that apply have to be compliant before they apply or non-compliant? Will there be criteria around race, for instance? Will it be geographic based? Will it be stage of businesses? How will these amounts that are going to be dispersed by these funds be allocated? Who's going to be the fund administrator, the fund managers? There's a whole host of questions that are yet to be answered. Yet, every day these questions go unanswered, families affected by this aren't able to put food on the table. If there is one thing I would like to ask of every single person who works in whatever level of government, whether it's a state-owned enterprise, a government-owned agency, for a funding agency, a developmental funding agency, local government, municipal government, wherever you work, is recognize that the speed at which you all are working is way too slow for the problems South Africa is facing. It's way too slow. And it's a systemic issue, with the greatest of respect, Michael. Whether it's a pothole down the road that takes 3 weeks to be repaired, a traffic light that takes a week to be repaired, water that might take a week to come back on stream, electricity shortages that are going out, to entrepreneurs going and raising funding from funding agencies, many of whom to this day in 2021, there are government-run state funding agencies that still don't have the basics of a CRM system. So Arjun goes and applies today, and in 2 years' time applies again, and they don't know that he's been there before, that he submitted documentation before. No intelligent tracking of these applications, or where the money's going to come from, or what were the reasons Arjun's business was turned down, and a whole host of these issues. The single question I would like to ask, and this is not a critique, it's a plea to every single person who's working in the state that is charged with dispersing capital to the real economy, is please move faster. The problems are manifesting at a rate far greater than the lethargic process you all are following to disperse capital, approve projects, and do work in the real economy. And sadly, we're all going to suffer the downside of that, as we've seen with this recent bout of riots.
I think a point very well made. We see urgency inside government. And every time we have one of these various crises, and we're littered with them, we're then followed by, oh, South Africans are resilient, and we rebuild, and we've got individuals like Arjun who come up with these projects. But really, it shouldn't have to get to that point. We actually have to embrace one of these crises as that tipping point, that inflection point that makes us realize we have to start acting with greater urgency. Arjun, what do you make so far of the government response? And then building on that as well, just into the broader SME entrepreneurial ecosystem, what would you like to see happen? I see there's calls for a startup act that might help. What would you like to see happen so that we let 1,000 Arjuns bloom in the wake of this crisis?
Yeah, I think, Cyril, again, has been more promising than, you know, previous leaders of the country in showing some, at least paying some attention to the importance of getting the ecosystem going. And I think really that's what it is, by the way, it's an ecosystem. So, in the ecosystem, we have all these reagents that combine together to create growth. And basically, as a government, we need to try and enable all of them. So one of them, which they actually is something being done about, called the SASME Fund, is, you know, funding. Small businesses need funding to be able to grow, especially ones which want to have tech leverage. They need funding. So we need more of that, of course. And then linked to that is also easier ability to raise funding from abroad. In South Africa, it's really difficult to get funding as a South African startup from investors overseas who have typically much deeper pockets and much bigger risk appetites. And that's something that you can't really do in South Africa very easily at all.
Exchange
and you
controls.
See companies jumping through all kinds of hoops, and hoops that are not good for the country to be jumped through in order to raise that funding. So that's another important one. And then, another one is, it's a really difficult one, and it's really systemic, but it's honestly the education system. You cannot, without skills, build value. And that's, you know, it's at the heart of everything, whether it's the foundational stuff, you know, school, high school, or the stuff which is of more higher leverage, higher up the scale, like learning, teaching more people to code, and more of those kind of digital type of initiatives. The government can play a big role there. I mean, we've seen all kinds of programs like that rolled out overseas to great effect in getting more people to learn how to write computer programs. That's great. And I think, as we have done, a lot of acceleration and incubation support. South Africa is doing, actually does really well. We have one of the highest densities of, relative to our GDP, of accelerators in the world. So that's something that I think we are doing decently at. I think, the biggest thing the government can do is just, as Vusi was saying, just speed up and take care of the basics so that, we can do our thing. That's actually the most enabling thing.
Stand aside. I think, Vusi, just to give you the last word, as we've got a minute to go, to build on that, the private sector is accelerating while the government is standing still.
And by the way, with huge resources. I mean, if you think about how much capital, so most South Africans are not aware that each and every single province in South Africa has its own state-funded development agency in every single province. Every single province. Most South Africans watching this, most entrepreneurs raising capital, have never heard of those agencies, so they don't know where the money goes. These are hundreds of millions of rands. Additional to that, we have a state-funded development agency that is intended to incubate businesses. Most South Africans that I've met who work in the technology space specifically, but not exclusively, have never heard of that either. By the way, I'm a part of the effort to get the SME Act, the Startup Act in South Africa. That's an important step for us because that'll create a framework, at least at the very least, a foundation for us to be able to raise capital. How do you treat external capital? How do you treat IP and a whole host of those issues? And South Africa, don't fall behind. Ghana's doing this, Nigeria's doing this, Morocco has done this. So we have to get on the bandwagon of getting this done. And I think that's important. The second thing I'd like to say is we launched a 350 million rand debt fund just before this looting. The minute the looting took place, we sat with our investors, our IC, as well as our credit committee, and we've reevaluated some of those criteria. So now for businesses that have been operating for a year, at least with a minimum of 1 million rand turnover, we would like for them to apply. Even if they've been affected by these, we'll look kindly upon trying to see if we can assist. And that's just the effort that we're making as a small little firm. There's a whole host and a plethora of asset managers out there who control massive amounts of capital. But I think what's fundamental for South Africans to recognize is speed right now is our best friend. Everything we talk about doing, we have to do much, much faster.
I think that's a fantastic point, very well made. Vusi Tembekwayo, the CEO of My Growth Fund, who is joined by Arjo Nkusel, the co-founder of CanDoer.com, just talking and sharing that can-do attitude and reminding government to act with greater urgency in the face of this systemic crisis.